Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, today we continue in a series called When You're Hoping for a Miracle. In these lessons, Rick shows us from God's Word how to have great faith and live with more love, peace, patience, and self-control, even when your circumstances appear hopeless. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a DVD study kit that will inspire and encourage you in your walk with the Lord called Everything is Possible with God. You can go to PastorRick.com or you can text the word daily to 800-600-5004 to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or the word daily to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called When a Marriage Has Ended.
2 Samuel chapter 12 says this. David begged God to spare the child, and he went without food and water, and he lay all night on the bare ground praying. And the leaders of the nation pleaded with David to get up and eat with them, but David refused. Then on the seventh day, he'd been doing this, he'd been fasting and praying for 7 days. He wouldn't talk to anybody. He's in misery. On the seventh day, the baby died. David's advisors were afraid to tell him. He was so broken up about the baby being sick. What will he do to himself if we tell him the child has died? But when David saw the advisors whispering, he realized what had happened. And he asked, "Is the baby dead?" "Yes," they replied. Now notice his reaction. Then David got up from the ground, he washed himself, he put on lotions, and he changed his clothes. Then he went to the tabernacle and worshiped the Lord. And after that, he returned to the palace and he ate. Now his advisors were amazed at his reaction. "We don't understand you," they told him. "While the baby was still living, you mourned and you wept and you refused to eat. But now that the baby is dead, you've stopped your mourning and you're eating again." David explained, "I fasted and wept while the child was alive. For I said, perhaps the Lord will be gracious to me and let the child live. But why should I fast when he is dead? Can I bring him back to me again? I will go to him one day." In other words, I'm going to go to heaven. I'll be with the baby one day. The baby's gone to heaven. "But he cannot return to me." What did David do with his grief? Well, he didn't wallow in self-pity. He didn't play the if-only game. He didn't second-guess himself. He didn't resign from life. He didn't build a wall of self-imposed isolation. When the baby died, he accepted reality. And this story tells us three things that you have to do when you're going through a crisis. And these are the three things you need to share with a friend when they're going through a crisis. You might write these down. Number one, you have to accept what can't be changed. That's the first thing. You must accept what cannot be changed. The baby wasn't coming back, so David said, "There's no use me mourning anymore. The mourning, I did the mourning before, not later." The second thing you do, and this is very important, you play it down and you pray it up. Play it down and pray it up. When you're going through a crisis, when you're going through a tough time, you play it down and you pray it up. You don't exaggerate it. You dedicate it. You surrender it to God. You don't say, "This is the end of my life." It's not the end of your life. Divorce is not the end of your life. The death of a loved one is not the end of your life. Painful, yes, but it is not the end of your life. It may feel like it. In fact, it does feel like it, but it is not the end of your life. You play it down and you pray it up. You notice what David did after the baby died? He goes to church. He gets up, he gets washed, he goes to the tabernacle and he worships. I have noticed as a pastor for now 30 years, that when people get in a crisis, they're in a financial crisis, they're in a marriage crisis, they're in some kind of other crisis, they stop coming to church. That's where you need to be. It's where you need to be when you're having the pain. When you have the pain, you need to be where you're going to get spiritual nourishment, where you're going to get encouraged, where you're going to get the promises of God, when you're going to get fellowship around you. Friends bring friends to church. You got a friend in pain right now? You got a friend going to church? Going through a divorce? I would drag them to church. I said, you don't have an option. You're going with me. You need spiritual support. You need encouragement. Friends bring their friends to church when they're going through a crisis. You play it down, you pray it up. The third thing you do is you focus on what's left, not what's lost. Very important. Focus on what's left, not what is lost. And that's what David did. God isn't finished with you. He still has plans for your life. And he's not through with you. You're still alive. And that leads us to the sixth thing that true friends do for their friends when they're going through crisis. You strengthen their faith. Number six, you strengthen their faith. Now, this is so important because a divorce or any other major crisis shakes your faith. But it is your faith and your trust in Christ that's going to get you through it. Now, the Bible says this. David wrote these words. This is a guy who just had this affair and gone through all of this loss of a child. He says, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I'd see the goodness of the Lord. I would have despaired. He said, I would have given up. I would have thrown in the towel. It would be all over for me if I hadn't believed in the goodness of God. What's he saying? He's saying, you know what? Even in those situations where life stinks and it seems all dark and black, I still believe the sun is shining, even when it's dark. I believe that God is a good God. Even when everything is going wrong in my life, I believe in the goodness of God, and that will pull me through. And I believe that His plan for my life is greater than the problem I'm going through right now. I believe in the goodness of God. Friends strengthen their friends' faith.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
How's your faith? Strong or weak? Is it steady or a bit on the shaky side? If you'd like to take your faith to new heights, you're going to want a copy of Everything is Possible with God, Understanding the Six Phases of Faith. In this study kit, which includes a DVD and study guide, you'll learn that faith is like a muscle. It needs to be exercised and developed. You'll also learn about the predictable patterns and processes involved in building your faith. Rick calls this the six phases of faith. Once you understand these six phases, you can cooperate with God as He systematically strengthens your faith and builds your character. This groundbreaking small group Bible study will help you uncover and participate in God's unique plan and purpose for your life. It's filled with helpful discussion starters, video overviews, a helpful leader's guide, and more. Session titles include How God Builds Your Faith, God's Dream for Your Life, How to Make Wise Decisions, Delayed by Design, How to Deal with Difficulty, and From Dead End to Deliverance. When you support this ministry with a financial gift, we'll send you this great study kit as our way of saying thanks. Call right now, 800-600-5004, or visit PastorRick.com to get your copy. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. There are only 3 days left to get this great resource, so don't wait.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
I mean, where does faith come from anyway? How do you get faith? How do you get more faith? They just pop out of the air and all of a sudden you got more faith? No. The Bible tells us there's only one place to strengthen your faith. One place where you get faith. It is holding on to the promises of God. Faith comes from this book right here, the Word of God. Now, if you know this book real well, you're going to have great faith. If you know this book a little, you're going to have a little faith. If you don't know this book at all, you're not going to have any faith. because this book is like the insurance policy on your life. And in an insurance policy, it says we cover this, 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 and this. And when you know what's covered in the policy, you don't worry about it. When you worry, it means one thing. You don't know the word. Did you know that in this book, there are over 7,000 promises made to you? God says, if you do this, I will do this. If you do this, I will do this. There are over 7,000 promises God has made to you in the word. But you can't claim them if you don't know them. They're like blank checks. And so if you want to increase your faith so you're able to handle the rogue winds of life, you've got to know that book. And let me tell you, the single most important habit in developing stability against stress, the number one habit you need to develop if you want to overcome stress in your life, is you need to memorize verses of the Bible. Why? Because when you most need the word, you don't have a Bible. When you're sitting in a restaurant with a friend who says, my wife just left me. Or you're in a doctor's office and the doctor says, it's not good news. Or you're at work and somebody just walked in and said, you're laid off. In the crises of life, it's not likely you're going to be carrying a Bible. And so you need to hide it in your heart. Notice what the Bible says. Next verse. Faith comes from hearing the message heard through the word of Christ. It is the word of God, the word of Christ, that builds your faith. You need to saturate your mind with the word of God. In fact, this is what David said. This is how David made it through his crisis. Psalm 119. He says, I have banked your promises in the vault of my heart. What is banked in the vault of your heart? The promises of God or trivia? You say, well, I just can't memorize. I have a hard time memorizing. Listen, you remember whatever's important to you. Some of you can name the words to songs from 20 years ago. Some of you can give me the latest stock report. You remember phone numbers. You remember emails. You remember what matters to you. And if the word of God matters to you, you will write it down on cards and you'll start memorizing. That's why we memorize verses on Sunday morning a lot. And we'll memorize together because we want to bank the word in our hearts. Now, the Bible says this. Look at the next verse. I am completely discouraged. Revive me by late night television. Oh, no, that's not what it says, is it? The word is the antidote to worry. It's filled with comfort. In fact, the Bible says this, never forget your promises to me, your servant, for they are my only hope. They give me strength in all my troubles, how they refresh and revive me. You know, the biggest problem when you're going through a divorce or a bankruptcy, or any other major crisis, you know what's the biggest problem? You can't sleep. Your mind is so wired, you just can't sleep. And you toss and you turn. And what is the antidote to that can't sleep? Sit up and watch infomercials? No. David said this here on the screen, I lie awake at night thinking of your promises. That's going to calm you down. That's going to cheer you up. That's going to get you through. That's going to help you out. It is the word that's going to help you out. You've got to fill your mind with the word of God. Now, there's one other thing that friends do. They speak words of hope. You need to be a hope pusher. You need to be a hope dispenser. You need to be a purveyor of hope. Friends speak words of hope. Friends point out that you're going to make it. You're going to get through this. We're going to be with you. Philippians 1:6 is a good example. God, who began the good work within you, will keep right on helping you grow in his grace until his task within you is finally finished. And God is not finished with you. But you got to keep growing. And what you need to do as a friend of a friend, you help your friend say, I'm going to use this situation to grow. I'm not going to get stuck. I'm not going to get stuck and let this define me for the rest of my life. I remember when Kay had cancer. She said, you know what? A lot of people, after they've had cancer, they're known the rest of their lives as a cancer survivor. She said, I'm not going to let that define me. It's just a blip in the road. It's a bump in the road. It's not what I'm going to be known for. She said, I'm not going to let something bad define the rest of my life. And you can't get stuck. Now, what you got to do is you have to ask yourself the tough questions in the crisis. If you're going through a divorce or you're in a marriage crisis right now, here's a very important question to ask yourself. You could ask your friend this question too. What is it like to be on the opposite side of me? What is it like to be on the opposite side of me? What would it be like to be my wife? What would it be like to be my husband? What would it be like to be my child? What would it be like to be my employee and I'm their boss and I would be my own boss? What would it be like to be whatever? The point is, you have to learn to see from the other person's point of view. And during this crisis, you don't focus on God solve the situation. You focus on becoming a man of God. And you focus on becoming a woman of God. You say, God, work on me. Work on me. Focus on what I need. And you develop new habits and you break old habits. You know, another important question you can ask if you're going through a divorce is, or have been through a divorce, is what can I do with God that I couldn't have done when I was married? It's an important question. 1 Corinthians 7, Paul talks about the advantages of being single. And he says, you know, you got more freedom, you got less distraction, you got more time to serve the Lord. Now, if you want to get married again, that's okay. I mean, that's marriage. But as I pointed out last week, the odds get worse. 41% of marriages end in divorce, 41%. 60% of second marriages end in divorce. And over 70% of third marriages end in divorce. The odds get worse. Why? Well, as a pastor, I've watched this for years and years and years, and I'll tell you why. The number one reason is people jump into a relationship too soon. Before they have been healed. They're out there and they're in a hurry. Give me somebody. Anybody, anybody. Just give me somebody, okay? Either financial pressure, sexual pressure, loneliness. You jump in the wrong relationship too early. Now, this is just my opinion, but I've counseled a lot of people. I would tell you, if you've been through a divorce, don't even think about another relationship for 5 years. At least three. Better five. Why? You didn't get messed up overnight, and you're not going to get unmessed overnight. There's a lot of work to do in you. You need to become a godly woman. You need to become a godly man. And I'm begging you, if you want to beat the odds where 60% of second marriages don't work and 70% of third don't, then what you need to do is take your time. Patience is a virtue. Let God work in you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. You know, Father, we can restore a lot of things. We can restore damaged cars, and we can restore a damaged painting and a damaged house, and we can restore even damaged antiques. But only you, God, you, Jesus Christ, can restore a soul, a broken heart. So I pray that many will say yes to your healing today. Now you pray. In your heart, say, Jesus, I've got some damaged emotions. I got some unfinished business, and I need your help. Say, Jesus, I need you to remove my guilt. I ask you to forgive all of my sins. Jesus, I need you to relieve my grief. Help me to look at what's left, not what's lost. Jesus, I need you to replace my grudges. Help me to let it go so I can get on with my life. I need you to restore my soul today. I surrender every area of my life to you. with our heads still bowed, you may not know the people sitting on either side of you, but I want you to pray in your heart privately for them. And here's what I'd like for you to pray. I'd like you to pray, "Dear Jesus, please heal the hidden hurts of the person on my right side." In your mind right now, just say, "Dear Jesus, please heal the hidden hurts of the person on my right, whatever they may be." And then do it for the person on the other side of you. "Dear Jesus, please heal the hidden hurts of the person on my left, whatever they may be. In your name I pray. Amen."
Hi, everybody. This is Rick, and I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, "Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ." And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus, and I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We are so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. And if you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, just go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time today. But first, how's your faith? Strong or weak? Is it steady or a bit on the shaky side? If you'd like to take your faith to new heights, you're going to want a copy of Everything is Possible with God, Understanding the Six Phases of Faith. In this study kit, which includes a DVD and study guide, you'll learn that faith is like a muscle. It needs to be exercised and developed. You'll also learn about the predictable patterns and processes involved in building your faith. Rick calls this the Six Phases of Faith. Once you understand these six phases, you can cooperate with God as He systematically strengthens your faith and builds your character. This groundbreaking small group Bible study will help you uncover and participate in God's unique plan and purpose for your life. It's filled with helpful discussion starters, video overviews, a leader's guide, and more. Session titles include How God Builds Your Faith, God's Dream for Your Life, How to Make Wise Decisions, Delayed by Design, How to Deal with Difficulty, and From Dead End to Deliverance. When you support this ministry with a financial gift, we're going to send you this great study kit as our way of saying thanks. Call right now, 800-600-5004, or visit PastorRick.com to get your copy. That's 800-600-5004, or PastorRick.com. There are only 3 days left to get this great resource, so don't wait. Here's Pastor Rick to tell us how God is using this ministry to change lives.
Today I'd like to share a story from Tim, who has been through a very tough time the last few years. He wrote this, "Dear Pastor Rick, I wanted to let you know how much I have enjoyed the Everything is Possible with God, Understanding the Six Phases of Faith series. Over the past several years, I've struggled with what seems to be a series of unending trials. The failure of a firm that I joined during a financial crisis, and then the loss of finances and investment, and then I lost my home, and I've had a dead marriage and a geographic separation from my children, and I now even find myself unemployed in the midst of a job search. But your teaching on Daily Hope have helped me tremendously. They've brought me closer to God. They've deepened my faith, and they've given me a sense of hope and direction. So I can't thank you and your team enough."
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, you can write him at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.